Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 91st Psalm, please. Psalms 91. Psalms 91. I'm going to begin at verse 1 and then read the entire psalm, but we'll be zeroing in just on that first verse, but I want you to get a scope of the entire psalm. Psalms 91 begins this way. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen? The word of the Lord, the encouraging word of the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to talk about shadows this morning. The Bible has much to say about shadows in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There are some shadows that we want to avoid. We never have to want to go through them. We do, but we'd rather not. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's a shadow we'd prefer not to be bothered with, but it's one of the human condition. In the New Testament, we're told in the book of Acts that even the shadow of Peter, as he passed by people, brought people healing in the power of Jesus. How many think that's a wonderful shadow? Amen. So shadows, we have much to, the scripture has much to say about them. But here, it talks about the shadow of the Almighty. It's God's shadow. And as we read this, no doubt written by David, think to yourself, this is probably written by David, but it could have been written by a number of desert dwellers, weary travelers as they pass through a desert area, many of whom will carry their own shade with them because there's very few trees in the desert, very little shade in the desert. So they carry it with them. They roll it up. It's like a knapsack. And then when they, need rest and some shade, they'll unfurl it and prop it up with a stick, and they can crawl underneath it and they can get the shade they need. Shade is an important thing. A shadow is kind of an important thing. In the desert, actually, the shadow of a tree or the shadow of these little things that they can carry with them is almost an equal climate. It can lower the temperature by about 10 degrees. Even today, on this beautiful day, we're going to reach 90 degrees out there, I understand. But if you've got a nice shade tree, you get under that, and it'll be 80. How many know sometimes that's all it takes to make you feel better, right? And so shadows are important, and this was probably written by this weary desert traveler David, and he knew the importance of shade. Something special about finding a tree that you can get under. When I was a kid, being raised in Central California, we weren't the brightest light bulbs in the shop. We would go barefoot in Central California on hot summer days. Now, I don't understand why we did that now. Looking back on it, it was crazy, but we did. And we would go out, and the pavement was just hot, 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 hot. The sidewalks were hot, hot, hot. And we would walk on it, and we would run from shade tree to shade tree to shade tree. I see a hand back there. You did the same thing. Shade tree, because there was something about getting that shade tree. You could cool your feet off, and then you could head to the next one. But shoes would have been better. We had shoes, but we just didn't wear them. But we knew the value of shade. We knew it was a place of repose, a place that we could cool off. And so this scripture seems to indicate that there is a place where we can go and find the rest and the strength and the repose that we need, and it is under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise God. This verse lists two of the names of God. There are many, but it lists two of them. It lists one, the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There is no one higher than God. And the idea perhaps there is the fact that God is high above everything else. So being that high, he's going to cast a long shadow and a lot of shadow. So there's plenty of room for everybody under the shadow of the Most High. But it also says there's the shadow of the Almighty. There is no one more powerful than God is. No one has more power or more might than he does. So he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Great names describing to us the power of the Lord and the shadow that he broadcasts out that we can get under. And life will treat us harshly sometimes. Life can be heated. Life can be a situation where you feel like you're wandering through the desert. I find it interesting that in this passage, verses 12 and 13, verse 13, maybe it's verse 13. He shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Desert dwellers, dangers of the desert. And we've got to be very, very careful. But life can be that way. Life can be lion-like. Life can be cobra-like. It can be serpent-like. There's just some dangers out there. I heard the other day of a forester out in North Carolina, which he would see those eastern diamondback rattlesnakes all the time, but he found one that was bigger than he had ever seen before. He estimated it to be at least 8 feet long and about that thick, and it was coiled up, and it was making a bigger sound than he had ever heard before, and he kept his distance, but he videoed it, and you can see it on YouTube or whatever, and I'm not fond of snakes, believe me, but I watched that, and it gave me the shivers just watching it. It was kind of like I was expecting that thing to strike right through my phone. But how many know life can be that way sometimes, right? We're going along, everything's fine, and then danger lurks ahead. So what are you going to do? Well, the Bible tells us that when we're in the secret place of the Most High, we're under the shadow of the Almighty, there are certain protections that God gives for us. And I think that is a promise for us in life, no matter what we have to face, what we have to go through. And so we think about this shadow of the Lord, the shadow of the Almighty that we can rest under and find peace. Now, there's an interesting connection, though, in verse 1. It says, he who dwells in what? The secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, the result of dwelling in that secret place, you will abide under the shadow. So the entryway to the shadow of the Almighty is the secret place. It's that secret place. Now, what is that secret place? I can't answer for David. I can only answer for myself. I can't answer for you. But in my opinion, that secret place that we go to where we find the shadow of the Almighty, the rest, the strength, the repose that we need has got to be, at least in my life, has got to be the presence of God. The secret place is where we find the presence of God. Now, it's interesting. If you look back in the Old Testament, you see that in the desert wanderings of Moses and the children of Israel, God instructed them to build a tabernacle, or literally a tent. And he gave specific instructions on what it would look like and its size and dimensions. And it was made, on the outside, it just didn't look that fancy. It really wasn't. It was designed to look very plain and uninviting. Badger skins and poles and those kind of things. But inside that plain-looking tent was the precious place of God's presence. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant, the place where God came down, the place that had the pillar of cloud by night and by day and the fire by night. It may have looked ugly on the outside, but inside it had the beauty of the Lord's presence. Amen. And so you look at that, and it became then a secret place. It became a place where the priest could go in and experience the presence of God, but it didn't look real good on the outside. And some commentators, most commentators that I read, said that they built it that way. God had them build it that way so that marauding armies wouldn't think there was anything of value in it, and they'd leave it alone. Now, you go to the New Testament, and we have God's presence dwelling in a man called Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. And it's interesting because Isaiah describes Jesus as not having any appearance that we would be attracted to. In other words, some translations say that Jesus may have been very homely looking. He was a Jewish man, nothing, you know, really remarkable about his outward appearance. That's what Isaiah said. Now, you've got pictures of Jesus probably in your home, and it's probably that very, very, very beautiful, you know, looking, and though I don't want to destroy that image for you, okay? But what we need to understand is Isaiah said the Messiah would not from the outside look like a Messiah. But inside that normal man's body was the precious presence of Almighty God because he was God. Amen. There would be no form that or comeliness that would draw us to him. And yet something that would be coming out of us that would cast a long shadow of powerful things that Jesus Christ could do. And in that sense, he is like the Old Testament tabernacle that wandered in the wilderness. So the secret place has got to be the place of God's presence to me. The secret place. And that could be different for all of us. I was traveling yesterday. I had to go up to the camp. We had had a water leak up there, and I had looked high and low. I had spent hours looking for a leak. And long story short on that is that I found it finally yesterday. But my wife, I called Cheryl to see how little Jacob was feeling. He was not feeling good yesterday or today. And she said, "Sweetheart, I want you to know that Logan is praying that you find that leak." Because Logan knows I've been looking for about 4 weeks. I've been looking for that leak. And I said, "Well, all right, tell him I appreciate his prayers." Well, I got off the phone and I went to a place where I had no idea there was any pipes there at all. It was out in a big field. And I was just about ready to give up. I'd walked that field about 3 or 4 times, rode the lawnmower trying to find a hint of water. And I thought, I'm going to give up. I'm going to have to find a leak specialist. And as I went, I heard something say, "Just look toward the trees." And so I looked over toward a couple alder trees. And I walked over looking, thinking maybe there was a hidden hose bib or something. And when I didn't find it, I turned. And when I turned, I saw a little twinkle. And grass is about this high, and I walked over to the twinkle, and it was flooded with water. I found it. Took me 5 minutes to fix it, 3 hours to get to it. That's how rocky the soil was. But I was able to call my wife and say, "Tell Logan God answered his prayer. Grandpa found the leak, and it's fixed. Amen? So thank God for the faith of a little boy, a little 7-year-old. But on my way up to the camp, I was burdened with a need that one of the families had. And so I just began to pray. I began to pray God's presence. And I was in my old Ford van. And it's, you know, my old Ford van is it was beautiful when Cheryl drove it. When I drive it, it's not beautiful anymore. 249,000 miles and my window doesn't go down. My air conditioning doesn't work. It's my passenger window is my air conditioning. And so it'll cool the car down from 100 to 99. When it's all the way down, it'll go down to 98. But anyway, that's my old van. It's ugly. It's like the tabernacle in the wilderness. It's ugly, but inside that van is all my tools. But in that van, I begin to pray. I begin to ask the Lord for this need. And all of a sudden, I felt the presence of God come in that van. And begin to speak in my prayer language. I begin to praise. I begin to worship. Begin to intercede. I begin to rebuke the enemy. I begin to rebuke the devil and his lies. And there was a powerful presence for about 5 or 10 minutes. But my wife's told me I can't do that with my eyes closed anymore. And so my eyes were open and I was praising the Lord. And there came such a powerful presence of God. And I knew I was going to preach on this verse. And I said, I have found the secret place of the Lord. The Almighty is here. The Most High is here. God came. And then a peace settled over me, and I thought, thank you, Lord. And all of a sudden, I felt at peace about that situation. And the rest of the way to camp, I just knew God had interceded. Praise the Lord. Amen. You never know where you're going to find the secret place. And sometimes we go to it, but sometimes it comes to us. The presence of God will come. Eddie preached a couple weeks ago. By the way, Eddie and Stacy are in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho today, and they'll be in Montana tomorrow preaching the youth camp there. So remember them in your prayers, and they'll be back on Saturday. But Eddie preached a couple weeks ago about finding a place and just sitting with the Lord. Get your Bible and a cup of coffee, and maybe that's your secret place. The presence of the Lord comes there. Maybe it's in your automobile. Maybe it's, you know, a prayer closet you have. Who knows where it might be, but it doesn't matter. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst of them. Amen? So we got it covered here today. And you say, well, what if I'm by myself? Well, it's you, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. You got four, you got it covered, right? So wherever you are, it could be a place of a secret place. And what happens there is you find the shadow of the Almighty. There's something about finding the secret place where the presence of God is there in a powerful way, and you find the shadow of the Almighty, and you just feel better after you've been with the Lord. You've talked to the Lord, you've prayed a little bit, you've read your Bible, and you just really feel like you've been with the Lord. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? It's a good place. It's a place where the presence of the Lord is there. So to me, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, that is a place where God's presence comes, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's like when we find that secret place, prayer with the Lord, all of a sudden the shadow comes. Now we know that the shadow is there. And the old saying is that when it was talking about someone that was famous, someone that was very influential, someone that did a lot of good things for people or whatever. It could probably be used in the bad sense as well, but I've always heard it in the sense of someone who did good things and they were very notable, very famous. It is said that they cast a long shadow and that their influence goes on and on and on. And we have figures in our nation, we have figures in the world that have done that kind of thing. But I'm thinking of Jesus this morning, and I want to tell you, Jesus cast a long shadow when he was here. Amen? If you read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then even several incidents in the book of Acts, we see the shadow that Jesus cast. And Jesus was the incarnate Son of God. He was very man. He was very God. And when he was on this earth, he cast a long shadow. And I want to tell you, that shadow was long enough for the leper, the lame, the lonely, and the lost. That shadow was good enough for the leper. And no one else would be around a leper, but Jesus touched the lepers, amen, because he wanted to heal them. The lame, people didn't care about people who were lame. They became beggars, but Jesus cared, and he healed the lame man. He healed him in the book of Acts, chapter 3, I believe. The lonely, the people that others had just despised and walked away from, could find help in the shadow of Jesus Christ. And the lost, it was Jesus who went out and sought the lost sheep, right? Are you glad that Jesus sought you and found you today? Amen. And so that shadow of Jesus was long enough for the leper, the lame, the lonely, and the lost. But it was also long enough and good enough for the blind, the bad, the bewildered, and the broken. for those who were blind, for those who cannot fend for themselves, for those who could not see, Jesus said, come unto me and I'll help you. To those that were bad, there were some bad people in the Bible, but when they came and found the shadow of the Almighty, Jesus changed them from bad to good. Amen. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you were bad? No, raise your hands. How many used to be bad? Come on, there. Oh, almost a majority. All right, the bads have it. There it is. But how many know Jesus can change you from bad to good? Amen. Same hands. You bet. Amen. Because of the shadow that Jesus cast. The bewildered, those people who didn't know what to do, didn't know where to turn, they could come under the shadow of the Almighty, and He gave them clarity. He gave them strength. He gave them direction. He gave them wisdom. And then to the broken, I love that. The broken that nobody else could fix, they could come under the shadow of the Almighty, and their brokenness turned to healing. Praise the Lord. Some of you have been broken before, and you know what it is to find the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And even as we know that sometimes you break a bone in your body, and when it heals, it is stronger in the broken place, so we can be stronger than we were before, even though we are broken. That shadow of Jesus was long enough to encompass the rich, the poor, and the outcasts. There were rich people that came to Jesus. There were poor people that came to Jesus. There were outcasts that came to Jesus. But when they came under that shadow, they were all level at Calvary. Amen? So you may be here today and you may be rich. You may be here today and you may be poor. You may be here today and you are homeless or an outcast. But I want you to tell you, when we come together, the ground is level. There's no one, there's no big shots or little spurts. Amen? We're all one in the Lord. And that's what the shadow of the Almighty does. Praise God. And then finally, that shadow that Jesus cast was long enough to encompass the soldier, the zealot, the thief, and the Pharisee. It was that soldier at his crucifixion that said, truly this man was the Son of God. And that shadow that Jesus cast from the cross. I forget the picture now. I'm not sure if it's a bumper sticker or if it's a photo or what it is. But it's a picture of the cross of Calvary. And it shows God behind it and the shadow of that cross penetrates down through the ages, even to our day to day. Amen? That coming underneath the shadow of the cross. And so that Roman soldier, when he saw and heard the words of Jesus, said, truly, this man is the Son of God. The zealot, the one that thought he could change things on his own, he discovered that he couldn't change anything. Only Jesus can change people's lives. The thief on the cross, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Amen. And the Pharisee who thought he was all of that, he was all big stuff, he realized he wasn't big at all, came under the shadow of Jesus and he became humble and a man of humility, because that's what the shadow of Jesus Christ does. Boy, the shadow of the cross, all these and more found a home in the shadow of the Savior. But the difference is they were changed. The shadow changed them. And so he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And God changes us when we get in that shadow. Changes our attitude. Changes our outlook. Changes who we are to what God wants us to be. They didn't stay the same. Jesus chose 12 men as his disciples. And they were, to use an expression maybe only those of my generation would know, they were a motley crew. And they were comprised of all different levels. There were wealthy people. There was a wealthy guy. And there was a zealot. And there was a poor guy. And there were fishermen. And there was a tax collector. They just came from all walks of life. And Jesus said, you follow me. Follow me. And they really represent the call of Jesus. I wonder if Jesus could get 12 out of this group this morning. I'm looking around. Maybe 10? No, I'm looking around. I think Jesus could get 12 of us. Amen? From all different walks of life. From all different walks of life. And he would pull us together. And he would say, follow me. Follow me. And generally what happens when you follow someone is you're in their shadow. you're in their shadow. And there's nowhere I'd rather be than in the shadow of Jesus leading the way. Amen. The shadow of Jesus. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, Lord, help me find the secret place. Help me to find a place where you and I can be together, where you and I can talk. Even if it's just for a little while, just give me a little place. I know moms and dads of infants know what it is to have just a little time. Lord, help the baby to take a nap. Just a short nap, but help the baby take a nap. All is quiet, and maybe that's when you'll find your secret place. Find your secret place. And when you find the secret place, you'll find the shadow of the Almighty. And that's where your strength will be renewed. That's where the power of God will come. That's where the presence of the Lord will be so incredible that He'll rejuvenate you. And you'll be able to walk through the desert again. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can dwell in the secret place and we can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We thank you, Lord, that through life, things get hot, things get tiring, we get sweaty. We wonder if there'll ever be a resting place again. And then we find a little tree or a little bush, or we pull out a little knapsack, we put up our tent, and all of a sudden we find an eco-climate. It's cooler than the temperature that we've been at. And sometimes, Lord, that's what happens in that secret place. In the hustle and bustle of life, raising children, taking care of babies, dealing with teenagers, Lord, work, job, home, all of those things, we get weary. But Lord, help us to find that little secret place. And your presence comes, and all of a sudden, I'm in the shadow of the Almighty, and I'm changed. Lord, change us in your shadow. Thank you, Lord. Because I've been in the shadow of the Lord, I could handle the other shadows that may come my way. Thank you, Lord. For the promise of Psalms 91, may it be special to all of us as we read it, digest it, Lord. There's so much more to this psalm than what I've shared this morning. But Lord, this is just an entry point where we can come into the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for the shadow. Thank you, Lord, for touching our lives and helping us be the people that you want us to be. And Lord, thank you for communion this morning. Thank you for Ken's testimony. And just thank you for being able to be together on this Sunday morning. And now as we get ready to go out into this world again, help us to follow Jesus and stay in his shadow and know the peace and the strength that God can give. We give you thanks for that in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Can you thank the Lord with me for his word today? Amen. 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 All right, God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you.